Okay, welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, May 27, 2025, workshop meeting. Call to order time, 6 o'clock PM. Roll call, please.
Administrator Smith, present. Fire Chief Cahill.
Present.
Fiscal Officer Ross, absent. Trustee Dick, absent. Trustee Reese.
Present.
Trustee Van Aaron.
Here.
Okay, first up we have public comments on items on the agenda. Do we have any? None? Okay. We had a guest presenter lined up, but he unfortunately thinks he has COVID, so you'll see him maybe next month.
Okay.
Okay. New business from zoning. Do we have any new properties that need to be mentioned?
Let's see here.
Or anything you need us to do?
No. I've gotten, I think, two complaints for tall grass. I've sent out, my spreadsheet printed out funky, so I apologize. On the 13th, I sent out 4 letters for tall grass and one for a fence issue. And then I've got 3 others that I noticed while I was driving around that I'm going to send out letters on, primarily here in Brandt on 40. And then Trustee Van Heron just gave me another one, and I noticed another one on 201 this afternoon. So primary issue's been tall grass. There's been a couple that have tall grass and debris, but
yeah,
letters have been sent out.
Seems like there's been a lot of those this year.
There has. and even usual. Like I said, even just driving around the township, I've seen 4 or 5 that I'm like, oh, they are. And they're not like, you know, limits 8 inches. It's not like they're 10 inches. They're
like right,
a foot
really
and a half.
Yeah.
So they're really out of compliance. So we'll be following up on the ones that were sent out on the 13th, because I think today marks 2 weeks. But other than that, that's all I've got on those for right now.
Okay. So next up is the penalties for violating the zoning code. So I spoke with the zoning attorney and found out some information on this. Let me get my notes here. A couple different things going on with him. Okay, so if you look at I listed 2 ORC sections there. 519.99 is the penalty section itself, which basically says if you violate sections 519.01 through 99, you can get a fine of up to $500. That's just a summary version, so don't take that as the literal. I'm not an attorney. And then 519.24, so 519.99 refers to 519.24, which is actions instituted to prevent violations of zoning regulations and getting special counsel. So we can take violators to court to get the properties cleaned up or mowed or whatever the violation may be. He said it can be expensive. He also said that we can do it ourselves. It does not have to be an attorney that files it. He would recommend that we get a template made by him and then follow that template and maybe do it with him a couple times to get comfortable with the process kind of thing. He also suggested getting a list of all violating properties together and go after them at one time so that somebody doesn't say, well, you're just singling me out.
Not under one case, but
get everything together that is a violation at the time and do all of those as a batch, mm-hmm. so to speak. Not that we'd go after anybody, but okay. And then he also said that we can dismiss the case. I mean, we don't really want to do this, right? So if they fix it, we can dismiss the case. And I said, well, are there court costs associated with that? And he said, yeah, but typically that would be written so that they would pay the court costs. So, but we can do that. We can dismiss it if they do fix the problem. So that was kind of a summary version of what we talked about on the penalties. So if we want to start that, he did say that up front it's going to take some time, especially from the zoning director, who is probably going to have to be up in court with him to do these cases.
Understood.
But we seem to have a lot of things that are going wrong these days, so... Did you guys have any questions?
I know.
Okay.
Lots of time.
And then one other thing in the zoning. I don't think this is on there somewhere else. Let me just check real quick. Okay, it's not. So one other thing is I did talk to him about the ag situation. When does ag apply, and where does our zoning stop and ag start? So specifically, I asked about the case of the man who wants to have the shed as a greenhouse, and said, well, then it shouldn't count in the square footage maximum. But this is what he told me on that. He said that if it's less than 1 acre, all the rules apply. So setback, total square footage.
When you say all the rules apply, what do you mean?
I'm reading them to you. Setback, square footage, and height of the building. So other rules that we have in the zoning would apply. Okay. If it's 1 acre to 5 acres, then, and less than 1 acre, he just said less than 1 acre. If it's 1 acre to 5 acres, then if it's in a platted area where there's 15 or more houses, and that doesn't mean it has to be block style, it just means 15 contiguous properties, does not have to be done under a plat plan.
Oh.
So just 15 contiguous properties together.
That's not necessarily platted?
Yeah, that's not necessarily platted.
So it's not platted.
So not platted.
15 contiguous properties. Okay.
Then the rules still apply. You can enforce building height, setback, and size. And I asked, does our code as is apply to these situations? And he said, yes. You don't have to specifically call out the case that says, there's 15 houses contiguous together. Here's the rules that apply. The rules apply to the property as a R1AAA or whatever it is.
So let me just give an example. So you have two houses that are each on 2 acres, and they decide they want to build a massive, they each want to build a massive chicken coop. But there's like 10 acre properties around them. They can do that.
They can do that, but if there's none around them, then yes.
Okay, you're right, yes.
If it's not 15 together,
gotcha.
Then yes.
Okay.
Then they're kind of free to do what they want. So let me just tell you the rules on that, now that you've asked that question. That's an excellent lead-in, good straight man. If it's 5 acres or more, or the case that you just mentioned, if there's not 15 properties together, then basically if it's ag use, so keep in mind this is ag use buildings that we're talking about here, then they can do what they want. The setbacks don't apply, the maximum square footage doesn't apply, the height doesn't apply if it's ag use.
Yeah, so that's the problem, is the ag use.
Right. So, but they have to prove that it's ag use too. They can't build it and then,
park
their trucks in there.
But they do build it for ag use. I'm going to grow...
Right.
Hops.
Right.
And now I'm parking my trucks because the hops crop failed. I mean, yeah.
Right. Well, then I guess we could go after them and say you're violating the code then, because it's no longer ag use.
Which then brings us back to the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I'm just telling you the rules. I'm not saying we need to take action.
Can
I just...
Keep
in mind, this is as I understand it.
Yes, so. I appreciate your notes. Can you ask him to write that up in a form that we can use as a guideline?
Well, it's actually all written in the ORC. We just have to read those rules.
Okay.
We just wanted, we just kind of wanted to make sure that what we were reading is how we were interpreting it, because not an attorney. I'm not
right,
an attorney,
yeah.
Right? So, so let me give you a couple other things.
So we're in the ORC. What section of the code is this?
I don't remember.
Okay, that's fine.
I think I sent it to you in an email.
Okay.
It's in 519. There's
something
a section that says,
yeah,
I think it's called like
it's
things
fine.
That we cannot do as a township.
Okay.
That's not what it says.
I know,
it's not
but,
actually,
I
but something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah.
that says what,
okay.
we, what our limitations.
Is it 111?
I don't know. I can't.
I'll look it up. It's fine. I don't know if you had it written.
It's a 519 something because it's in the zoning section, and then it's basically limitations.
Gotcha.
Okay. And the other thing I asked him about was containers, shipping containers, because we seem to start getting some shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
So, in our zoning code, we specifically say they basically must be temporary. So if you're constructing a house, because there's valid uses for having
mm-hmm.
for having these things on the property, right? You're building a house and you're using it as your office to build.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a pod because you're moving in.
Right.
But we have specific rules in the zoning code about 7-day max, and then it must be under a certain size, it must be
right.
on pavement, can't has to meet the setbacks, blah, blah, blah. So so again, I asked him, what if it's an ag use? Then what happens? And he said that because we specifically have in our zoning code, no humans or animals can be in a shipping container. So, and he said, if it's less than an acre or in the 15 contiguous situation, mm-hmm. then yes. But otherwise, it would probably fall into
you can't
the
this.
Ag situation, even though I said, well, can't we argue that that's not a building? But he said we could, but doesn't know how. You'd have to go look at case law to figure that
so
out.
So there's a lot of new language out there for zoning codes going or zoning with shipping containers, specifically calling them out because there's more and more places
right.
that are using them. And
right.
I'm not saying I want to have them here. I'm just saying that is the thing that's coming up, or will be coming up.
Well, they're meeting Thursday to start on the text, and now I have a whole list of other things to add to the list I had before, of just some things in the code that are not clear and that we could make clearer maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suggested to me that to have all of the zoning board members read through the document and anything that they question as, does this mean this or does it mean that, highlight it and bring that to the table for possible clarification. Because if we have the question, then
mm-hmm.
probably somebody out in the community has the same question. Okay, so that was, just make sure that's all of it. Oh, the other thing I asked was, can we limit the number of chickens? Because that came up at one of the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And the same answer, it's ag, so unless it's less than 1 acre, then
it, 1 to 5 acres and 15 contiguous.
Yes,
acres.
Then it would
okay.
have to fit in those same rules. So that was my understanding of it. Like I said, it's the ORC is, it's kind of clear, but yet it's not. So the 15 contiguous properties was not as clear, but so that's that. And I think that's all I talked to him about. We're going to talk to him again. Cody and I are going to meet with him Thursday. I would have really liked for our administrator to have been there today so that more than one person hears it, but he called me out of the blue and didn't have time later today, and I kind of wanted to have it for the meeting, so
right.
So hopefully that's it. Okay, anything else on that item? Okay. Next up then is, since I'm going to add this, notes from attorney. Okay. Next up is fire, and Ben, you wanted to talk about staffing a little bit?
Yep. So as of right now, we have one applicant that is done. We're just basically waiting to, we're going to get a resolution hopefully next meeting to get him started. I have two other applicants sitting on my desk. I'm meeting one on Friday for an interview. She said she probably could get her stuff done for her packet done that day. Great. I don't know. We'll probably get her on the next meeting. And other than that, we have a potential of five other applicants.
A lot of work on your part.
Yay! Trying. However, I can't guarantee you that they turn their applications in.
Right,
I printed them off, handed it to them, said, here you go.
Right,
you know, I can't guarantee anything. Mm-hmm. With that being said, so currently we roughly have about $10,000 in our training budget. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think I talked to you about it. but we have roughly about $10,000 in our training budget. I cleared it with the rest of the officer staff to make sure that they had no issues with it. But we were going to use that money to basically find people, say, hey, are you willing to go to school?
Ah.
And we'll pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we pay for it, you would have to sign a contract stating that you would work for us for 3 years or prorate pay us back or whatever it might be.
Didn't we used to do that, but it was just 2 years?
It was 2 years for fire, and then it was 36 months
gotcha.
For paramedic.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Yeah. But it and
but
it
this, they're going for fire and EMS training.
Yeah,
right?
We would do
all
both.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
So we would be taking no certs and giving putting them through school.
Absolutely.
I called the State Fire Academy. I got some numbers for prices. It's about $800 for EMT and $1,500 for level 2 fire.
Wow.
And that gives them the minimum a lot of the qualifications that we require. So
that's fantastic.
The State Fire Academy will also get it done within a month and a half.
What do you mean get it done?
Get their class done in a month and a half. Now, they are there every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. That's what they do for a month and a half, 2 months.
Wow.
So that's a big commitment for them,
especially
if they're already working. So in reality, our demographic would probably be kids.
19-year-old that's still living at home.
Bingo. Which there is obviously the risk of that, right? But at the same time, we pay for it, you sign the contract.
Right.
You work for us for 3 years, you pass. If you don't pass, you pay us back anyway.
Yeah.
So.
And then have you worked out, like, the room and board that we talked about?
I didn't get a chance to call them about that, so I apologize about that.
My question to him was, he wants them to go to a certain school that's not local. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have to go someplace.
Yeah,
you know, do we help with the room and board kind of thing too, or
which would drive the price up?
Yeah,
potentially. I don't know if the State Fire Academy actually requires, because I mean it's an hour away.
I know. Yeah.
So it that would really stink to have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have to get up at 5:30. You know.
Right.
But what is work?
But it would also show your
dedication. So
I mean, maybe we could reimburse them for fuel.
Yeah,
something.
Every day. Yeah, we could. But the room and board, I don't know if the state actually charges for it. I don't know at all because I've only been to the State Fire Academy once. It was one day, didn't have to stay, came back.
Oh, they have a place you can stay?
Yeah, they have dorm rooms.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, I was thinking like a hotel at $150 a night.
Oh, no.
It gets pricey.
No.
Oh, okay.
But the dorm rooms could probably get pricey too
because they have
upkeep and all that other fun stuff.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's kind of the tentative plan right now. I'm probably going to try to do that anyway just because even if the four or five applicants that I got waiting on, if those don't pan out, then I can always fall back on this or do both and get everybody
awesome.
as much as I can. So we are, as of right now, we are sticking to the you must have your EMT and plan on getting your fire within the year, the calendar year of your hire. That because as much as I would love to say, come on in, we'll get you trained, you're going through school, I can't, we don't have a breakdown for what we could pay them.
Right.
And B, they can't do anything.
Right.
I mean, you could stay in the morning and, you know, clean the floors for a couple hours.
Get the walk-ins.
Yeah. And that's not feasible for somebody. So, I did get in contact with the school, about, the one kid. And I was going to email her back again because she said that she gave him my contact information, still haven't heard nothing. But I was going to try to work with the school because you need to, you have to have a high school education or a GED or a diploma, and you have to be 18 just to take the fire classes anyway.
Gotcha.
So we could potentially get people started, get them through halfway, most of the way through the class right before they graduate high school. They graduate high school, they graduate the fire academy the next week, and you're done, potentially. You can actually start them in high school now.
Well, what, they don't go to high school then anymore, or what?
No, they do. That's the thing, is that it depends on how the, so like CTC.
Oh, yeah.
If they go to CTC, they have their own program. So we could potentially send them there, and they get it paid for already.
Gotcha.
But then, you know, it just depends on what we do. So that's kind of the staffing issues right now. We still have issues. I apologize. I'm working on it as best I can.
Everybody has issues, Ben.
Yeah, it does.
Troy just had that big article about staffing.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. I feel bad for those guys. With that being, I mean, even with my full-time job, we're 3 going on 5 short here in the next year. So, and it takes, for a full-time job, it takes every bit of 3 to 5 months just to get them through the process.
Yeah.
So, everybody's feeling it. City of Dayton's feeling it. They're browning out houses, shutting down houses to move people around because they ain't got enough people to staff. So, it's a
challenge.
It's a challenge for everybody. So, we're working through it, and people are willing to help out, and we're getting somebody, something.
Great.
So.
Good.
Maybe the high school thing will work out too.
I hope so. Yeah.
I found one kid who was graduating that was going to attend school. I said to him, like, get this guy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but he won't answer me back. Or I can't get his information because they won't give it up.
Well, they should. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah, but sorry. That's all I got. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, road department. We have the West Charleston Road Repairs. You sent the letter about.
Yeah, so I talked to the property owner who's on the southwest corner of the road, and he, 2 years ago when I talked to him, he's like, yeah, I don't need that extra drive. Now he's like, I think I do want that drive. And he does have a point. He cannot get out of his property. He could go through his if something would happen. He can go through his neighbors, but he's like, right now I'm on good terms with my neighbor, but if I'm not and I'm stuck, I can't. The culvert is so deep, I can't get out. So, okay, fair enough. I talked to Chris. He came up with the idea of this guy doesn't care where it is. The property owner doesn't care where it is. He just wants his additional access point. He still wants to have it. So rather than put it in the corner, which is what is creating all this undercut of the road, Chris proposed to move it down closer to this guy's driveway, just on the straightaway part. So that's what this quote is for.
And the guy's okay with that? That
he's fine. He doesn't.
Is he going to change his mind?
No, he's not going to change his mind. And Cody went ahead and printed me off all the maps and the detailed list of what's going to happen. I'm going to each of the property owners that were doing work on their property and getting them to sign off on it. And they get a copy then, so that everybody's in agreement. There are no surprises. You're not going to yell and scream at us that we're digging up your roadway. So.
Okay, so we'll have a resolution for this then.
Yeah, and I would suggest, just as a habit going forward, is that we write a resolution for a 10% overage. I don't expect there to be a 10% overage, but we don't even have to. We just write a PO for the additional 10%. We don't give it to the contractor. It's just if for some reason this happens, then we don't have to come back and wait for another 30 days to decide. In this case, this was over 10% of the original price. But I'm just saying, going forward on most contracts like this, where there's an unknown, as in you get a quote for fixing the fire truck, it's $4,000, we should probably be writing that for 10%. $4,000 plus a second PO for 10%, just to keep us, so that we have
safe.
A safety. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Next is the seasonal worker.
Yes. So, so Eric approached me the other day and let me know that he is, feels like he's working a lot, doing quite a bit more than maybe what is his fair share, and told me he was getting burnt out with the amount of work that is on his plate right now with mowing, string trimming, things like that. And he suggested that we look at maybe bringing in some seasonal help just to do help with the mowing, help with the trimming, help with upkeep, that sort of thing. So I told him that I would bring it to the trustees and we can discuss that possibility. I spoke with Kama a little bit about this, and she asked me to relay that she is not necessarily in favor of that. And she also told me that she thinks that Eric might be doing more than what is actually required of him. And that he is such a hard worker that he's actually going above and beyond and doing more than what he's actually supposed to do, especially in terms of the cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was my impression that he was mowing them, weeding them like once every 10 days.
Okay.
Which I think is more than what has been prescribed in the past. So I talked with him a little bit about that. He said he doesn't think he's doing it more than what it needs. More than what needs to be done with them.
Just the Bethel East, Bethel West, West Charleston. He's not mowing Crawford and Honey Creek or whatever that's called. The other ones.
He told me that his big two are West Charleston, or big three are Bethel West, Bethel East, and West Charleston.
Okay, yeah.
He said those take him probably two full days, if not a little more, to do all three of those. And then the other ones, he said, he can get those done in half a day.
Yeah.
Those aren't the issue. It's the big three. So I guess at this point I'm just bringing it to the trustees and kind of getting an opinion to see, if in the future he continues to feel that way, what the direction we might want to go is.
Well, you get somebody in for 20 hours a week in the spring. I mean, that's when the main, grass is growing like crazy and the weed whacking, and you know, as they have, they patched any potholes at all?
I think they've patched a few. I know he was out on Agenbrod or Pisgah a couple weeks ago patching potholes. But I think most of his time right now is being
mowing.
Dedicated.
Yeah, which everybody's, I mean,
which it is, it should be.
Everybody's
right now.
Time is mowing.
It's,
so.
I mean, stuff grows like crazy right now.
Yeah.
It'll even out once it gets hotter into the summer. But
I mean, to maybe keep it under control for the, even if you just got somebody to do the park once a week, you know, that would save him 5 hours.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. I'm not for or against this. I know it's been a while since we've had seasonal workers, but could we try the solution of just having him slow down?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it takes him, instead of 2 days, 3 days, or 4 days, whatever, you know, like...
Just slow down and quit. Well, in my opinion, Eric is such a hard worker that I feel like he just goes and goes and goes and goes until he can't go anymore. I told him the other day, I said, Eric, you have to kind of slow down and pace yourself a little bit. But trust
but will getting another worker fix any of that? Because then won't he just start over?
Well, that's a good point.
Or do something else?
That's
a
good point. I truthfully don't know at this point. But he, like I said, he came to me, asked me if I would, you know, bring that up and see kind of what the feel was. The other side of that issue is... I think Eric does a lot of the manual labor.
Absolutely.
Well, Robert's on light duty right now because he's got that surgery.
Duty.
So
So I think that's, again, in my opinion, he hasn't outright said this to me, but in my opinion, from what I see, I think that's a big part of it too, is he's the one doing the vast majority of it because Robert's on light duty and, you know, we don't have a... He's told me when that should be ending, but it's if the doctor approves him at that point, you know. So it's yes, it should end now, but there's always the caveat that it may not.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my biggest concern is that I really just don't want to put Eric in a position where he has to say, okay, I can't do it anymore and I have to go.
Right. Well, what if you got somebody one day a week? I mean, one non-rainy day, you could find somebody for $18 an hour, $17 an hour. I don't know what people are paying, but... I mean, I would be fine with that, especially now. I mean, if it stops raining like it did last year in August, nobody's mowing. But,
right.
Man, it's been raining every other day now. Everything's growing like crazy.
Yeah, it's been...
And it's not. It's easier to keep up with the cemeteries than it is to go back and go, oh, I haven't been here in 2 weeks, and now I'm got a mess.
So, and that, actually, I'm glad you said that. That was another point he brought up when I asked him about potentially slowing down on some of the work.
Yeah.
Specifically with the cemeteries, that's exactly what he said, essentially, was, well, I can slow down, but then
yeah, it's,
when I go back, I've got
twice as much work
to do.
Yeah.
Because it's not been
maintained. And the cemeteries look great. They do.
Oh, they look phenomenal. I mean, I definitely give them all the credit for that because they do look wonderful. So I will flesh out, talk to Eric a little more and kind of see. And I'm also going to talk to Robert and kind of see where he's at and if he thinks he's going to be able to come back full duty soon. If he's not, obviously there's been other talks of retirement and things like that that are going to play into this heavily. So.
Right. Okay.
So
we can put it on Tuesday's agenda for discussion again.
Yeah.
And see what happens. I mean, maybe, aside from maybe trying the slowing down thing, is maybe we just have somebody that could be kind of on call, if you will. Because
that might be.
If we're going to go through the interview process, it's going to take a while to find somebody. So, potentially.
Yeah, I think that might be a good idea because, he took, what was it, this past Friday? Yeah. So he had a 4-day weekend this past Friday, and he seemed to me, again, this is my opinion, he didn't say this, but it seemed to me like he was a little hesitant to do that because he's thinking, well, if I'm not here and something happens, then
mm-hmm. Yeah,
we may not be able to handle it,
right.
Which is not fair to him.
So what about the option of, there's plenty of lawn services out there. Could we just pay somebody, say that Robert can't make it back and we say, come and mow Friendship Park for us.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know, but it seems like maybe that could be an option too, because then that would be a true on demand.
Right.
They'd have to have insurance and all that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. But maybe just take off some of that.
It's another option.
Yeah.
Or you could contract out the weed whacking at...
Yeah, or contract out part of it. That's basically...
Like, just have the weed whacking once a month. That's expensive, but that's also a really tough job on your body.
It is. Yep.
So if you find somebody who would do it for X thousand...
So we weed whack... Weed whack... every headstone, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's...
But not every time. Not every time.
But, right, yes. But... It is a lot of work.
It's a heck of a lot of work. And you have to be really careful with those old headstones.
You do. And again, I think that the weed whacking is more the problem more so than the mowing. Because Eric told me the other day, he spent, I think he said almost a full day weed whacking.
I don't doubt
Bethel
it.
West
no.
or Bethel East.
Yeah.
Which, if anybody spent any time weed whacking, you know that's extremely tough on your
body.
Yeah,
yeah. Or maybe that's the way to go. See if you can get a contract.
Yeah.
If you have time to... call around and see how much they would quote it just for those three cemeteries, you know, once a month.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some local, I know there's local people that might be interested.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all.
Okay, so I'll put that on the agenda Tuesday for further discussion.
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
This will be resolution. This will be discussion. And, sorry, Ben, I'm just going to backtrack. You're going to have some names for the
Hope.
For Tuesday?
At least one.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you've talked to somebody else and you want to hire them, we could hire them with the caveat of the
passing
the
test
and stuff. Yeah. Just to get it on the agenda.
Fired up and started soon.
Okay. Next up is the fiscal office. Okay. I'm still recording today. Okay, first up is the meeting minutes for 5-5, the last business meeting. Did anybody have any comments on those?
I haven't had any.
I looked them over. I did not see anything that needed changed.
Okay. I'll put those on Tuesday's agenda then for approval.
That's fine.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay, and then next is the, where are we at? Budget process. Okay, so I just want to let you know, since Rhonda isn't able to be here, I talked to her about the budget process, so it's going to be the same. She's going to do it the same way she did last year, and that there will be a public hearing, so she doesn't have to do a bunch of manual stuff, which is the way it used to get done. So last year, she switched to the public hearing method, which means the budget has to be done by June 20th, and then there's a 10-day period where the public can come and look at the budget.
Yes.
And then it would be on the next regular meeting agenda for approval. So last year, we held a special meeting July 15th to do all of that, but we're a little ahead of the game this year, so that's going to be kind of the schedule. And
you're going to do a meeting on June 20th?
No. The June 20th would be the day it would have to be done.
Okay.
And announced to the public that it's available for review.
Gotcha.
And then the public hearing for it would be at the regular meeting, and then we would approve it at the same meeting.
July 1st.
If that's the Tuesday, yes. And I have not finished the template. I got sidetracked with some zoning things and some other things. So I talked to Ron about that too. So we're kind of going to do it the same way. We don't have precise number or as precise as we would like, because some things were done in the wrong codes last year. They're trying to fix all that. So we'll have better numbers this year. And then anything that you guys want in the budget for next year, bring that up to put in the budget. So raises.
At next meeting? The next meeting or the...
Well, you can just work with Rhonda on that or Kathy.
Okay.
So when are we meeting to discuss it?
So we would meet on July 1st.
I don't want to approve a budget that I would rather meet ahead of time. Not that I ever want another meeting.
Okay, well we can discuss it at the work session, because it'll be done by the 20th.
Okay, that's fine. Put it on there.
Yeah, it'll be on the work session.
That's the 24th.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's a little bit earlier. And then anything for the road department as well, Cody, you want to bring up? Okay, anything else on that? Any questions? Okay, healthcare insurance. So, our assistant to the fiscal officer, Fortunato, got back with SIBO and got some answers to the questions that were asked about the Aetna insurance. And so what she found out was we would not have to pay any additional costs if we went over the estimated claim costs collected. They would be covered under the stop loss policy.
And how much is a stop loss policy?
She did not say that in the memo.
So typically stop loss, I should say, from my experience, stop loss is included in.
It's included.
Is it included?
I can't say for certain with this particular one, but in my past experience, it's been wrapped in as a part of the policy.
So I have read that, and I have also read that it is not included.
Really?
So I just want to make sure that it is included before we commit.
Before we sign off on it.
Okay.
Before you guys sign off on it.
Okay, so I'll get back with her and find that
out.
And then, so the flip side of that is if the claim costs are less than the estimated claim costs collected, one half of two-thirds would be returned to Bethel Township. She asked about the doctors, and she said the Aetna network comprises 98% of doctors in the state of Ohio and every hospital system, and overlaps with Anthem by about 92%, and that she would research any doctors, personal doctors. So if you guys, hopefully everybody did that, that wanted to do that. And the other question was about the open season. normally there's a period when you have to sign up. She said, we do not have that per se. It's just that when we sign with an insurer, those prices are good for 1 year. And normally at the end of that year, then SIBO researches the current prices and gets more quotes. And they're good till the end of the quarter. And there's nothing that stops us from getting new quotes at any time during a year. The only requirement is that the old insurance company gets a 30-day notice that they are being dropped. Mm-hmm. And she said that we could, that we would save $10,857.40 over a 12-month period, and that with the potential for thousands more if we don't have a lot of claim costs. Mm-hmm. So that was from her email. So I think that we should move to this. I mean, again, if the stop loss policy is included, you know, and there's,
that's fine. There's, I would prefer that we move to it like August 1st or September 1st, some date, not July 1st, because for me, I already have doctor's appointments scheduled out until the, I have one in the beginning of July. I don't want to switch healthcare providers right before that. So, and I think other people have, I mean, most of us don't get an appointment tomorrow. So if we can do this August 1st or July 30th, I'm fine with it. But I don't want to change it in 30 days.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, that gives, if you waited 90 days or 60 days, that gives people plenty of time to the heads up.
Okay, cost of, all right, just writing this down. Yeah, and that would give them time also. Okay. So we can still put it on the Tuesday agenda. We'll just put an effective date, assuming that she gets the answer, of course, about the stop loss mm-hmm. policy.
So effective date of what?
Well, I'll find out, what is it, July 30th or August 1st, and then we can put
okay.
that date in there.
That's fine.
I mean, I don't know which it should be. Okay, no trustees items. So next up is old business. Okay, so we just talked about the budget. The board retreat.
Yes.
Have we got an update on that?
So, yes. Yeah, so, as long as June 26th, it's a Friday, that's where I'm looking at. Tip Center in, obviously, Tip City. We would do an afternoon, so their rooms are booked out.
I will get back with you. I am, like, 80% sure I'm not going to be here. That's my daughter's birthday, and we're going to Virginia.
Okay.
But let me confirm,
yeah.
And I'll call you.
Yeah.
Wait, first question. You said June 26th?
Yeah.
Yes.
So in my phone, that's a Thursday.
Oh, is it? I may have been looking at the wrong month when I said that.
July 26th?
June 26th. It is. Yep, you're right. It's a Thursday. So that would be, I mean, we could do either the 26th or the 27th. My thought process was to do it on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And then that way, and they're, so Tip Center, the way they book out is 4-hour increments. So if we did the afternoon 4 hours, it would be like a 1 to 5.
Okay.
Type deal.
Does that help your case any?
No, because her birthday is the 26th.
Oh,
we were
going to
leave the
26th
and
okay.
spend the
okay.
weekend. I thought it was like a 4-day weekend, but then you were like, so I was like, well, maybe it's wrong. No. But how about the 11th, July 11th?
July 11th?
Or the 18th. I'm here all of July, so.
July 11th isn't good for me.
18th?
That's probably good.
Ben, do you know July 18th from that work? Do you know what your shift day is going to be? I mean, I know you know that far out. But
yeah. Hold on one second. July 18th?
July 18th.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I'm off. I'm supposed to be off. Yep.
Okay.
Supposed to be. That doesn't mean I don't get forced or something. But,
well,
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Can't count for
you
got to
check
so.
With Kama then,
okay,
too.
Okay, so that's...
Yeah,
since she couldn't be here.
I'll put it in as potential.
Okay, I will put it there. Like I said, it'd be afternoon, so it'd be 1 to 5 at Tip Center in Tip City. And the room that I'm looking at, I think there's a table that's got 6 or 7 chairs around it, and there's a whiteboard, and there's 2 whiteboards, there's a TV that you can use if we have like presentations we want to go over, or visual aids, or whatever, so it's set up fairly well.
Okay.
And I couldn't tell from the pictures, but I believe it should be big enough to fit if some of the public want to. I mean, obviously it's an open meeting, so.
Right.
Now I can bump it up to the next size room, which I think that one's got.
I think just that's fine.
Okay.
Thanks for doing that.
Like, absolutely. So I will check with Trustee Deck, and I will double check that it's available July 18th, but they seem to have pretty open availability, so especially on a Friday afternoon. So, but I will confirm that that works for everybody, and then I will book it and send out the confirmation, and then we can start working on an agenda.
Okay. Next is the Walnut Street dead end. You were going to check with Chris on the process.
Yes. So Chris has been out of the office for a couple of weeks, but I talked with the other assistant civil prosecuting attorney in the office. She could not recall anything that timeline that would affect the process with the annexation, things of that nature. She is going to be getting me a definitive opinion on that, formal write-up. But when I spoke with her, she did not seem to think there was anything that would have any impact on that as far as the annexation development.
Yeah, we have to pass it and a resolution. We push it to the county commissioners. The county commissioners have to have a hearing.
Yes.
They have to wait 45 days or 30 days, something like that, and then they can sign it.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds.
But you have to have the descriptive language from the county engineer on the road.
Okay.
Like, it would be nice to say that it's the end of Walnut Street, but
it has to be the legal.
It has to be the legal description of it.
So you will get that information then, right, Cody?
Yes, I can have that.
I mean, we might as well get it all ready.
Yeah, and then we can. You guys can move forward however you see fit at that point once you have all the information.
And it's probably a good idea for somebody to give the heads up to the county commissioners ahead of time so that they know what's going on, so that they're not like blindsided by it.
Okay,
next up is Archive Social. I think we just
Did we put that
on hold already?
Yeah, I think we put that on hold pending the...
I usually go back and read the notes, but I don't remember seeing that in there, but it seems memory says... Just not a high priority, right? Okay, zoning items. Hooking up the GIS. Good news on that one, right?
Yes. So I talked with Dan Cerdic at the county. He said that it may be a possibility that we can get a license from the county to for ArcGIS, which is the current up-to-date software that everybody uses. Not everybody, but a prevalent software that is used. He gave me the contact of the county IT person. I reached out to him. His name is Adam. He reached out to the county auditor, who has the actual enterprise licensing for Miami County, and he said that they would allow us to have an enterprise license or a license from their enterprise pool.
Mm-hmm.
That we can use. So Adam is working on getting that set up for us. He said the only caveat is that obviously since we are operating under Miami County's license, that they'll be able to see the maps and stuff that we put in there. But that, I mean, that's obviously not a problem.
Yeah.
We'd like them to be able to see
maps.
Yeah. but he said it will probably take a bit of time to get set up just because he has to go in and get all the licenses approved, get everything set up, get everything over to me, and get it all input and all that kind of stuff. But he is working on it, and I did go ahead and give him the go-ahead to start doing that for us. So
great.
We should have...
Thank you.
And then how does that work? So we submit updated maps, and then MVRPC picks those up and gets theirs updated, or
for
it's all one?
Yeah, so I would submit it to MVRPC, and I have a contact that I submit all that stuff to. And that they are obviously who uploads everything to the publicly available map that's online on the website.
Right. We know that's out of date, so.
Yes. Yes.
So we just last week noticed Big Mike's is still listed as ag property.
Jeez, Pete.
Yeah. On the MVRPC one.
That's a solid 10 years for Big Mike's?
Yeah, if not more. Probably more.
I think 2004? 2004.
I think the paperwork I saw was 2007, but it had already been changed at that point.
Yeah.
That was the farthest back I could find.
Well, it changed hands and became a business, I think, 2004. If you look at who bought and sold it, it looks like it was around that time. But then he found a different application that showed that it had already been changed. But, yeah, on the site it shows it as ag, so...
Wow.
Yeah, I there's a couple of
probably it's worth it to go through property by property, even though it's a pain in the butt.
Well, and you know, if somebody calls me on something,
you can't confirm, you don't know for
sure. Not only that, but then I can go back through the paperwork and I can say, oh, well, this was changed, whatever, and then I make a note that says,
if there's paperwork,
Because
there was no paperwork on that one saying when it happened, just showed after the fact that it hadn't happened in the past.
Oh, man. I vaguely recall voting on that.
Yeah, because it would have been
2005,
somewhere early 2000s.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember the sheriff coming in saying, now that the gas station's there, crime's going to go up in your township. I was like, well, thank you so much for that. I don't know if it did or not.
Debbie Downer.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Okay, next up is updates to the zoning text. Just want to say where that is.
Yep, so that will be here in the township meeting room on Thursday the 29th at 6 o'clock. It'll be a joint meeting for the Board of Zoning Appeals and the Zoning Commission. And we'll be talking about updates to the zoning text. So we'll... First thing we're going to do is talk about a schedule, try to get an actual set schedule in place so that we're not just scrambling to find meeting times.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be diving into it. So I've asked all of the members that are going to be there to bring ideas, questions, concerns.
Their books.
The books. The books, yes. The books are a big one.
Don't forget hers.
Yes, it should be.
I made books for everybody, so everybody's got an updated version.
Oh, okay.
And then... maybe you can propose what that suggestion was, that they go through it, and if there's any questions to highlight that and say, it doesn't make sense to me, so maybe it needs clarification.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, next up is fire department. Any update on the expired helmets? I know you were waiting on Chris for that.
So I am still waiting on Chris. Unfortunately, I had more than a handful of things with him right now, so I've had to kind of prioritize things.
Yep.
At present, we are still waiting on the actual waiver and the release form and from him, but hopefully that should be coming soon.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, surplus equipment.
So,
how's that going?
I still have the list. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to minimum take for that medic.
Okay.
Before I put that on there too, I still need to get with Robert to probably get like mower hours and conditions and stuff like that with him, but haven't really seen him.
Truth be told.
So, other than that, just kind of definitely need to figure out what I'm willing to take for that medic, because that's going to be a big.
What do you think you can get for it?
Huh?
What do you think you can get for it?
Honestly, I had no idea, in fairness. I believe one of my battalion chiefs said possibly 10,000. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Yeah.
And that's if people are really needed.
Yeah.
And we would have to probably de-letter it and everything ourselves, so, which is fine. We could do that. We did it with the other one.
D8 grinder.
Do I?
D8 grinder.
There you go. But, yeah, so that's the possible thought, that's
on Gov Deals, right?
Yeah. It'll all be on Gov Deals.
Gov Deals now has a feature. I don't know who's the Gov Deals person. You?
I think it's me.
You can put in there not a minimum. Like the minimum evidently is like a. Oh no, that's a red flag. People don't even want to start at 10 because they know it's going to go over.
Right.
But you can put in there, you can check a box when you set it up that says, I reserve the right to reject the winning bid. And you can't do that
based on price.
Yeah, you can't do that for like a chair, but you can do it for big ticket items. So yeah,
say a Medicare.
Yeah. So yeah. Then what the rep said is that it helps. It generates more interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
You get more than just one bid. So
perfect.
It's on the homepage. I mean, on the bid setup page.
We need to make sure that the ORC lets us do that, though.
What? Sell the Medicare?
That's what I was thinking.
No, I'm pretty sure the ORC says you have to. Well, you have to determine a minimum.
Yeah, you have to determine a minimum. So if you determine your minimum to be 8,000,
sure.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, we just need to make sure that we're following the ORC because that's what we live by.
Yeah.
Absolutely, but it is legal because we have to write a resolution that says we're getting rid of this. We determine its value to be X,
mm-hmm.
And then
as a minimum bid, and then
But then it's just the way you do it on GovDeals.
Gotcha. Okay.
So.
Works.
Okay, any updates on Elizabeth Township?
No. Honestly, I sent something to E-Town and TIP, and I have heard nothing but crickets since. I don't know if I made them angry. I'm
guessing they're just super busy like everybody else.
Well, yeah. And in fairness, they're all short staffed as well, so it's mm-hmm. everybody's fighting the same fight here. I'll probably send E-Town probably an email. I can actually do it today. Just saying, hey, what's the plan? What's the deal? How you feeling? You know, how's the fam? Whatever. Just trying to figure out where we can move forward. With them, so.
Okay. Thank you. Next up is road department items. So, any update on the no parking signs?
Yep. So, Robert is working with the county garage to the county garage is going to go out and see if the signs are missing, if they have fallen down, if they need replaced. So essentially they're going to do an assessment and take care of all that. If we need new signs, they're going to make new signs. If the signs have fallen down, they're going to put them back up. So Robert's working with them on that currently. I did drive down Lisa and Gibson today, and I think there's two each, at least two each on Lisa and Gibson. I think there's one on Julie.
They're on the same side of the street though, right?
Yes, and they're like one's at kind of the far end of Gibson and then the other one's at the other far end. So there's nothing, like once you're actually in the industrial park, there's not really many signs to remind you. I also talked with county sheriff as a part of another discussion that we had. We got a bill for a cruiser repair that ended up being a Clark County issue. But while I had them on the phone, I talked with them and let them know that, you know, our intent is to start trying to patrol that a little bit more here in the future. So he said, just let us know and we'll, you know, go from there.
Well, they can do that now, right? Because the signs are there.
The signs are up now, yeah. I know we had talked about if we wanted to send out notice that we're going to start enforcing this more, but I did give them a heads up that, like, hey, this is a problem that we've had. We want to get more enforcement on this issue, and he said he would talk to the...
And so we're going to ask for signs on both sides of the street, right?
Yes.
Is that the plan? Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
I'm guessing the reason they're at the end is... I mean, this is typical, right? Like, just like when you turn on a road, the speed limit sign is there.
Right.
You're supposed to see it there and then apply it to the whole road.
Right.
Right? But apparently that's not what's happening. So, yeah, it would be good if the sheriff could patrol and start issuing tickets or something.
Yep. So I will keep working with everyone involved on that and get those up.
Great.
Okay, the surplus equipment we've already covered. And Friendship Park digital mapping is on hold. Okay, trustee items. Okay, the short-term rental lodging tax, Cody, you were going to do some research on that. The question came up last time as to, did it need to be in the resolution? Like, do we need to have it in the zoning text before we can apply the rental lodging tax.
Yes. I do not have an update on that at the time.
Okay.
I'll have to look into that. I apologize.
Okay, we'll look forward to that next time then.
Yep.
Okay, meeting room or shelter. So this is my item that I was thinking maybe we could do a barn raising style project to get a shelter up, potentially a meeting room, because this is a small meeting room and we have big item, lots of people, we don't have enough room. So I'll just repeat what I said before. So the idea came from the New Carlisle shelter. They built the shelter in the park, which they also rent out. It's enclosed, and that's what they use for their meetings. So I talked to them, and I told you this already. I talked to them and got some names and ideas and such. And I've done some research through some of our local guys, and now I'm thinking maybe start with an open shelter that people can just use to picnic. And potentially it could be a tennis court and two pickleball courts. And then the suggestion came up.
With the shelter on top of it?
Well, it would be covered, but it would be open.
The sides would be open, but how are you going to play tennis or pickleball in a covered? It's going to be a really tall shelter.
Yeah, it would have to be somewhat tall. But I mean, it could just be that people just want to go out there and hit some balls.
Sure.
It's probably not going to be, mm-hmm. you know. The other idea that came up from one of the citizens that was kind of helping is maybe also add a basketball hoop onto one end of this. They said that pavement is better than concrete for courts because you don't have the expansion lines in pavement that you have in concrete. So I also found a grant that I'm going to apply for, which is due on June 2nd. So this will be interesting. But that could be some money to put towards it as well. And then
who's the grant with?
It's through the ODNR. And there's a limit, I think, for our county of 32,000 something.
Oh wow.
So it's not a lot of money, and mm-hmm. we might have to share it with other, you know, if right, we get yeah. any of it, we might have to share it with other people in the county. But it would be something.
Mm-hmm.
So and it does apply to outdoor courts.
Oh great.
So that's part of the reason for having the courts in there. Mm-hmm. So and then maybe if this see how this oh and I have talked to several people in the community that do construction, building, paving, concrete,
mm-hmm.
and people said they would help. So we'll see when push comes to shove if that happens. But yeah, maybe next year see how this goes, and maybe next year look at getting an enclosed one that we could use for meetings and potentially rent out. Like New Carlisle does. Any questions on that one?
No.
Okay. Next up is House Bill 113, which is the annexation language changes. There has been no action since the proponent testimony, which was provided on April 30th, which was just after our last meeting, unless somebody else has heard something.
Nope.
Okay, and then no new news on the position, the goals, or the personnel policies updates. Haven't gotten back to that. Okay, no other discussion topics, so... Or did you have anything, Beth?
Nope, I don't have anything.
Okay, so public comments on any topic?
I don't have anything.
I see a pink sheet out there.
I got one. I just want to... And it's nothing tragic. Just something to think about. Hey, Nikki O'Quinn, 7925, Windham Road. Penalties for the zoning code, something I wanted to bring up because I've watched this happen. I call them repeat offenders.
Mm-hmm.
You go through all your process, this person fixes the problem. 3 or 4 months later, the problem is back.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. Like
if there's going to be some harsher penalties or something? Because I lived across the street from one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Fix it, everybody's happy for about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's overgrown, the junk starts showing up again. So if you would consider that when you're looking at these violations, if there's something in the code or whatever, it says, all right, we've cited you for this, you fixed it. You're doing it again. Same thing we cited you for 8 months ago. Now you're back doing it again. If there's something to penalties to discourage it, because how many people do you know are like that? Yep, I fixed it. I got them off my back. I'm done. And everything goes to heck in a handbag.
Yeah.
And then there's no follow-up.
Well, there's no teeth in the follow-up, and they know that.
The thing is, we're bound by legal things, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You just start over. Now, if they don't fix it, once you get the judgment, every day they don't fix it, you can ask for more money. Like, that penalty applies every day. But if they do fix it, then I think you're starting from scratch. There's nothing in the ORC that,
okay,
you know. And then there's a limit on what you can penalize them as well. So, you know, I don't think we can say first, second, third offense, the amount goes up.
Okay, like you said, I live across the street from one of those.
Yeah.
It's gone now, and it had nothing to do with penalties or anything.
Yeah.
Be perfectly honest, he died.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's...
Well, that happens now. I mean, we have that property on Westland that... I mean, how many times have they gotten letters and, you know, they move the cars around, meet the code, and then... Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, just wondering.
Thank you.
Try to find something, but I'm not hopeful on that one. Thank you. Okay, so unless you have a reason for an executive session, Beth?
I do not.
Okay, then we should be at adjournment. Do we have a motion?
I move to adjourn.
All right, I will second that. Any discussion?
Nope.
Call the vote, please.
Trustee Van Haren.
Yes.
Trustee Reese.
Yes.
All right.
Time adjourned is 7:07. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Yeah, thank you.